Welcome everybody to this week's episode of HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here with my third or fourth best friend, Stephen Robles.
Thanks. I've been knocked down the list since last week, but that's all right.
Well, that was HomeKit best friend.
Oh, so now it's in general.
Yeah, maybe this is more encompassing.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah. So we had a bunch of listener feedback this week, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But before we do news-wise, first of all, iOS developer beta 4 of iOS 14 came out this past week, but nothing new-ish in HomeKit, in the HomeKit world. Just be on the lookout for upcoming betas, and we'll see. Do you have any of your devices doing the facial recognition? I know you had the beta on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I do get that. I have the one in our basement on record, partially just for security. Someone would come in through like our basement doors, but also because we have our animals sometimes go down there, like our dogs, and they know they're not allowed in the basement. And I like to make sure I get notifications if they go down there.
Right.
So I always get like the alerts.
Okay.
But because of that, whenever I occasionally will go down in the basement, I'll get an alert on my phone that says Circle View has detected motion in the basement, or has detected a person in the basement. And then I can't remember if it's a follow-up or the just one initially, but it'll be like, Andrew O'Hara might be detected in the basement. Something
okay.
like that.
Nice. So
I had like identified my face,
okay.
and it does point it out whenever I head down there.
Very cool. Well, yes, I haven't done the beta on all my devices, but I'm excited to try that come September, hopefully when iOS 14 officially
right.
becomes available everywhere.
I know, and I think the one thing that I've been waiting for that I have to assume is coming in one of these betas, and then we can talk about it, is I want there to be a widget for HomeKit. There is no home widget so far. I think that'd be obviously a obvious one to put in there, so you don't have to jump into even Control Center. It'll just be there on your home screen. So I would love if they had a home widget, and I'm sure we're going to get one in one of these betas.
That's interesting. Or I was going to say maybe a developer can make one, but the issue with widgets, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it displays information, but you can't necessarily, you know, you can't make a widget with four HomeKit device buttons and like tap those buttons right on the home screen to manipulate it. The widgets just launch the app. They can't have individual actions.
You know, I can't even remember anymore. There are some odd limitations, yes, absolutely, to the iOS 14 widgets. But I have also seen developers playing around with widgets on Twitter.
Okay.
Just because they're playing around with them and just because they get them to do something in the simulator doesn't mean that Apple's going to approve those for the App Store. We'll have to see what actually kind of gets approved and what's allowed to be done. But I have seen ones where people have their running actions and stuff. And I'm wondering how that would even play out. Maybe you can have those four actions. And when you tap on one of them, it does launch the app, which runs a shortcut or something like that. But
right.
you know what I mean? Kind of like the files one.
Right.
The files widget, it shows like a bunch of your recent files. And you tap into it and it opens the file app and opens that file. So I wonder if maybe they'll require you to open the app and not just run.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would love to have widgets rather than going to Control Center. So we'll see. Another piece of news, though, there was a new HomeKit Secure video camera that was launched and is now available for purchase, the Onvis C3 HomeKit Secure video camera. And this is HomeKit Secure video, not just HomeKit video. So you get that secure video. It's $90. You can get it on Amazon. There'll be a link in show notes, but it's always nice to have another option. This is an indoor camera, so indoor only, not outdoor, but it does have a two-way talk, you know, in the camera. And again, HomeKit Secure video, so if you want something to do that facial recognition once iOS 14 comes out and the activity zones, this will do it. So Onvis C3, do you have one of these?
No, I do not have one of those yet.
This is like new. So yeah, the Onvis
new.
I've never even heard of this company. Does Onvis make other stuff?
I can't remember. There's some of these HomeKit brands, and there's a lot that I meet out at CES that somehow have like 10 products that no one's ever heard of. A lot of times it's just getting that US distribution through Amazon or something else. So the name sounds familiar to me. I feel like I probably met and talked with them.
And you know, we actually didn't get a chance to talk to it on the HomeKit Insider show. I mentioned it on the Apple Insider podcast, but CES, you're not going to get a chance to go because it's all digital this year.
I know. You know, mixed feelings, because obviously right. it is a, if it were to be held, it would be one heck of a gamble.
Right.
They were polling us ahead of time. You know, I was filling out a lot of surveys for CES or for the CTA saying like, you know, what concerns you most? Would you attend? Would you not attend? what precautions would you like to see? Mm. Which precautions would be most important? Like a very in-depth surveys. So I know they explored a lot of different options between different social distancing measures, different limitations on occupancy and aisle width and everything like that. And still in my head, I'm like, it would literally be impossible to keep anyone at a,
right,
at a safe distance. I mean, masks, of course, would be a thing, but
I mean, there's a massive amount of people there.
It would have been really hard, and stuff like that could just spread so easily. So I think they probably did make the right call in the end, but it is still, of course, disappointing not to be able to go out and see this stuff in person, getting good early looks at some of this hardware and everything, catching up with a lot of the people that we work with over the year is always nice to do, being able to have... I never really get to have much of a lunch or dinner there, but a walking lunch or something as we're going between meetings to catch up on stuff. It's good. I feel like it really helps us throughout the year as we are, you know, publishing reviews in the HomeKit space, non-HomeKit space. So it's going to be disappointing, but they do have an online experience this year. So we'll kind of see how that goes. I assume I'm going to end up with basically nothing but FaceTime or Zoom meetings set up from morning to night for like a week in a row.
Right.
Maybe that'll be easier to make all the meetings instead of having to run across the strip for everything. So we'll see how it goes.
Right. So we had a bunch of listener feedback and tweets and emails this past week, which was awesome. I wanted to mention one. This was a massive email. Listener Michael Smith sent this in, and let me just encourage you, you might as well publish this as an ebook, Michael, next time, because it was lengthy. And so we'll be pulling from it for a long time. But he was kind enough to send it, so thanks, Michael. And it was very interesting to hear his setup. And one of the things that he talked about was his light switch covers. And I know on a previous episode of this show, I got the Lutron Aurora, which is that little round knob that you can put onto a light switch to lock it in the up position. And then you can still click the button and you can dim it and raise it. And so you have control of your Hue lights without having to shut the light switch off. And then no one else is going to accidentally shut it off. We were wondering if there was such a thing for like the paddle style switch, the wide type light switch. And so in Michael's email, he talks about some of the things that he uses, and he uses something called a Samotec light switch cover. I'll put a link in show notes to it. It's hard to tell. This is for like UK light switches. It talks about a lot of the compatibility being with like UK stuff, but it might work on the US light switch too. But basically it's a cover that you put over your paddle switch, and it's made so you can mount the Philips Hue smart dimmer switch to control the light into this cover. And so you can control your Philips Hue lights. The paddle switch will stay in the up position because this goes over it. And this might be the answer to those with paddle switches that want to lock them in the on position. So yeah, thanks, Michael. And we'll be pulling stuff from it for a long time. But this is the Samotec light switch cover that works with the Hue light switch. 7 pounds, which... who knows? That might be $1,000. It might be $3. I have no idea. But it's 7 pounds or 7 euros on Amazon. Another listener, this is a tweet. Zach Hicks tweeted at us because Andrew was slamming the Yobi B3 doorbell camera last week. And it arose from the ashes were the lovers of the Yobi B3. But Zach Hicks, who tweeted at us, he says that he has the Yobi B3 as his doorbell camera. And this is, I think, part of probably a larger HomeKit setup he has. He actually got it on Kickstarter. And so he said he only had to pay $130 for it. Apparently he backed it there when it was on Kickstarter. But yeah, he says he loves it. He was, tired of waiting for other promised HomeKit doorbells and got this one. He really likes it.
Okay. Well, before everyone runs out and buys the Yobi B3, because Zach loves it, let's put a couple asterisks on the here, okay?
Okay.
He paid less than what's retailing for now. Yeah. So if you're paying for less for limited functionality, then I can be okay with that.
Okay.
If you're getting it for cheaper than full price, then okay, I get it.
Let me remind you, Zach Hicks in the Air Force. I'm just want to mention that. You might have a drone over your house right now.
Second thing, though, that you conveniently left out over there is that he does have other cameras recording, right. I believe.
Yes.
So he does not need the recording functionality because he has his other cameras.
Right.
So it's not like he's going without any recording.
No.
He is going just without the HomeKit recording. Recently, I had a card stolen, and I had to swap out my card that I had on file for my Arlo account. And at the moment, because of no HomeKit cameras, I'm using the Arlo, I can't remember what it's called, like Pro Video Doorbell or something like that. But I'm using the Arlo doorbell. And when you don't have the paid subscription to it, you lose similar features. So you don't get the recording, I believe, and you don't get the rich notifications. And oh my gosh, does this thing, like, I still love the Arlo doorbell, and obviously I swapped out my card and everything was good again. But when I didn't have it, I was so annoyed because I'd get like an alert, something had happened, that it detected motion or something. And even with HomeKit ones, I don't always get that rich notification. Most of the time I do, but for occasionally whatever reason, just maybe take a little bit longer for it to, you know, hit the cloud, then hit my device so it doesn't show up right away. But I'll get that motion notification first or something without a picture of what's going on. And half the time I'll pull it up and there's nothing there. And it's like, wait, what did the motion? Did a man just run across my porch? Did a cat run across my porch? Was it a branch? Like, it's really frustrating to not have any recording abilities there, let alone the rich notification. So with the Yobi, you do get those rich notifications most of the time because it is going through HomeKit, but you don't get any of that recording. And to me, I would almost find that annoying. Like, I got like a notification on my Yobi that something happened, a rich notification didn't come through, which means I have to go and I pulled up, nothing's there. Now I have to go to my other camera app and see what it recorded as the motion.
Right.
To me, that would still be annoying. To me, I would still not be dropping the money when there's inevitably going to be a real HomeKit video doorbell that actually has the cloud recording. We know several are announced. We know Natatmo has got to be right here on the cusp of being released. I would still be holding off for the Natatmo one.
It's on the cusp.
That's just all I'm saying.
Basically, bottom line is you have it out for Yobi. Let's just be real. And you just...
Hey.
No, just kidding.
All they got to do is bring in HSV or anything like that, and I'm good.
Yeah, that's true.
That is it. I'm not asking for a lot here.
Can that actually come in a firmware update? I guess it can, because, I mean, the Eufy camera added HomeKit Security. So maybe.
So did the Logitech Circle View when they originally brought it, then a Tatmo Smart Indoor Camera added it.
Right. Okay, very good.
Yep.
All right, well, another listener tweet. This is from listener Hernan, and he was talking about, you know, if you have a Bluetooth HomeKit device that's out of range of one of your hubs, you know, can you get a different hub and does it actually extend? And for him, I'm not sure which device he had first, but he now has an Apple TV and a HomePod, and both are acting as hubs. One is probably in standby mode. And like we saw last week, if you go into your Home app, you can see all the different devices acting as hubs. There is one primary, and then the others say standby. But Hernan is saying that the additional device, the HomePod or the Apple TV, placed closer to the HomeKit device that needed the Bluetooth connectivity, actually extended the range, and then he was able to access that device then farther away. So it sounds like if you have multiple hubs, works basically, where if you have a Bluetooth HomeKit device and you need to extend the range, all you have to do is either buy a $150 Apple TV or you can buy a $300 HomePod, or if they're on sale, at $200. But I would still like to hear. I didn't get a chance to play with this yet, and I'm not exactly sure how. I would have to maybe disconnect some of my HomePod or Apple TVs. But again, the iPad can act as a home hub. And so if you listeners out there, someone is having difficulty with a HomeKit device because of the distance and Bluetooth connectivity, and you have an iPad, go ahead and go to that iPad, settings, home, and then use as home hub, and let us know if that iPad can then also extend the range and you now have access to that HomeKit device that maybe was out of range before. So thanks, Hernan, for letting us know that, and I'll try and figure out a way to conduct this experiment. I don't know, Benjamin Franklin with the key on the kite or something. It'll figure out how to do it and see if the iPad works. But, I mean, it should. I mean, it says act as a home hub, so...
I know. Well, actually, I've had some issues with this recently. So this has kind of been one of my side projects in HomeKit over here, actually with my wife's parents' place. So they have a room in the house. So they don't have like central air or anything like that. So they mainly have a big AC that covers like their main rooms, their kitchen, living room, dining room, all that kind of stuff, their living room, all of that together with just this one big window, standing AC unit does good. But they have this back room and kind of an extension that they added on many, many years ago, and it gets very hot. And they have a couple things in there that are temperature sensitive. Hmm. So we were like, okay, well, let's work on this, what we can do. And we wanted to make sure that we had kind of control on this because her mom didn't want to have to mess with scheduling something or turning it on and off. And it's right next to her, their bedroom. So she wanted it like off at night, and it was a whole thing. So the route that we went down, we went through a GE in window home kit air conditioner.
Oh my.
The thing works great on its own. It cools that room down real fast. It's pretty sleek looking as far as an in-window AC unit goes. Nothing too crazy. The problem that arose is I wanted to make sure I could control it from here. I wanted to automate it with HomeKit, and I wanted to kind of manage it all that way. So to do this, they don't have a HomePod or an Apple TV. Not dropping down change on a HomePod or Apple TV for their house. So the solution that I figured was perfect was her dad had an iPad that he rarely used, but it was always plugged in and everything, and it was right next door. So my thought is, this is perfect. This is going to be our home hub. It is perpetually plugged in, always connected to Wi-Fi. That'll act as the home hub, giving me remote access to their GE AC, and it'll allow it to be scheduled and automated. You can only schedule devices if you have a home hub, because that's essentially what is running that schedule. So right. If you don't have a home hub at all, you cannot schedule or automate any of your devices, which is obviously not a good thing. So we use this as a home hub. Unfortunately, it doesn't work at all. As soon as I leave their house, it's like, no home hub detected. And we cannot see the AC, and the AC unit is not reachable. So I don't know what is going on. I have tried everything. I have tried like resetting his iPad. It's all up to date. It's signed in and out of iCloud and everything. His iPad says, I'm a home hub. Remotely, I'm not able to do anything. So part of it, I could say part of it has to do with iOS 14, because I am running a beta, and anytime something wonky happens, that is always something to consider.
Right.
But his device is not on a beta, and it is acting as the home hub. So I would think that that should be fine. I don't know why this isn't working. It is very frustrating. If anyone else has any experience playing around with iPads as home hubs and them not being recognized or something, I would love for anyone else to let me know their experiences. But I still can't get an answer to this on as far as what's not connecting or not working. It's just, the whole thing is very opaque. Everything seems to be set up correctly, and just no remote access to it, no scheduling. So right now, I know my mother-in-law has to go in there and use the buttons on to turn it on and off. Like
an animal.
And every night and everything. I know. Like this is the 20s or something.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That actually is the 20s, now that you said that. It's kind of funny. 2020s. But anyway, yeah, so tell us, listeners, if one of you have used an iPad as a home hub, either to extend your HomeKit network or as a standalone device, let us know. Be interested. We had one more tweet. This was from Rayburn, and he had a question about HomeKit Secure Video. He was asking, cameras that only have HomeKit Secure Video support, who pays for the cloud services for the recordings of video and things like that? Does Apple charge a fee to whoever? And to remind you, if you're getting into HomeKit Secure Video cameras, you can stream the video even if you don't pay for an iCloud storage plan. But if you want to have the recordings from your HomeKit Secure Video cameras, you have to have at least be paying for the 200 gigabyte iCloud storage plan to support one camera. And if you're going to have more than one camera, you have to pay for the 2 terabyte iCloud storage plan, and that supports up to 5 HomeKit Secure Video cameras. So to answer your question, Rayburn, you are paying for the cloud storage for HomeKit Secure Video cameras. It doesn't take away from your iCloud storage, like we've said before, but you do have to be paying for iCloud storage to save and record video clips on HomeKit Secure Video.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people don't even realize this, to be honest, because most people out there are paying for, you know, at least that $2.99 a month tier of iCloud storage. iCloud storage is now so encompassing now between iCloud Drive and your photos and your backups. It's almost necessary to pick up at least that $3 a month subscription. We do like the $10 a month family, like 2 terabytes for everyone to share, which I still think is a great option. I use it more than, you know, Dropbox. I mean, they're sharing options for files, backups. And now we have the added benefit of the cloud recording for HomeKit Secure Video.
Right.
I think it's a terrific bargain compared to paying an additional $6 or $10 or $3 a month from somebody else per camera, just to have that already baked into your iCloud. So I think the reason people get confused by this is they're already paying for it, and there's nothing that prompts them, like, you have to pay for iCloud to get recording features here. People just already have it, and they don't even realize that it's baked into something that they already have.
Although I do run into people sometimes where I'll see them say, like, you know, what's this warning? It says my phone hasn't been backed up in 3 months. And I say, well, do you pay for it? And I still say, I run into those people and I say, listen, at least please do the $3 a month, because it will back up your photos and your phone. And, you know, at least do that. But
yeah, isn't there like a 99 cent one as well that gives you like 50 gigs or something?
Yeah,
I think it's like 50 gigs for a buck and then 250 gigs for three.
Yep.
200 is it? And then there's the 2 terabytes for like 10 or whatever. Yep. I mean, even doing, come on, people. I mean, even the 50, like, I feel like the people who are not paying the dollar for 50 gigs or something probably don't have the 256 gig iPhone.
So I'm
willing to bet that their iCloud backups are small enough to be stored in even that 50 gig one. But yeah, the $3 one is a good deal.
I will also just, again, Apple, if you're listening, a 5 gigabyte free tier after buying an iPhone is a little, I don't know, seems a little stingy. I would raise either that tier or at least like back up people's photos. Again, Google, you know, if you have an Android phone or you buy, or maybe it's not all Android phones. I think if you buy a Pixel, you can get a free storage for your photos. And I think you do get 100 gigabytes on Google Drive for free when you get an Android phone. So anyway, just a plug so people don't lose all their data if their phone falls in the toilet or something. But all right, now you have a big review that went up. So tell us about the Vocalink air purifier.
Oh my gosh, man, I am excited for this. Kind of talked about this a little while ago. We talked about being available on Amazon, and I was really keen to pick one of these things up. And I was actually talking to the folks at Vocalink, and they were like, hey, could you hold off on publishing your review? Because they were so popular that they kept like running out of stock. So they had asked me to actually hold off on doing our review until they could get more stock on Amazon to fulfill it for all of you monsters out there who may want to run and buy one of these as we go through this. I'm excited now because we actually get to talk about this, which is the Vocalink PureFlow Smart Air Purifier. And it is, especially if you're in the US, this is the only HomeKit air purifier out there on the market, which is a big deal for a lot of people. These things are, you know, health and air quality and stuff are becoming more important, especially as people are working from home and they're kind of starting to pay attention to some of these things. Now, in our house, it is filled with animals. My wife has 2 bunnies. We have 2 dogs.
Bunnies?
Oh, yeah. Bunnies. We got Boots and we got Dixie.
What's up, Doc?
Which makes us sound very country, yeah, and we are not. We got Boots and Dixie.
That's something.
My wife actually rescued them. Boots was, she had this friend who had like a farm, and she's like, oh yeah, we're raising bunnies to eat. Do you want this one?
Wait a minute, whoa, like, wait have, a minute. Hold on. Did you say to eat?
Yes. I know, people eat bunny, I don't know what was wrong with this girl. And I say friend, but I'll put like quotes around that. But they were, it's like a pure satin bunny, like a show bunny, and she's raising it for meat.
Whew.
I don't think she knew what she was doing. I think she just somehow got these couple bunnies, and then she was like, do you want one? And my wife was like, yes, don't eat this. So she took it home, and then after she brought it home, she was like, hey, by the way, would it be okay if we got a bunny? And I was like, I guess. And she's like, okay, good. I already got it. We're going to pick it up.
So when you say rescued, this is not like you rescue a dog from the pound. This is you rescued the bunny from a stew.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Or jerky or whatever it is you do. I don't know.
Oh, but bunny jerky. Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, so she literally rescued this thing from being eaten. So that was our first bunny. And she got a second one from somebody else who was like, it was like in a garage in its own filth, like never cleaning. The cage was like rusty.
Oh my word.
And she was like, I'll take it. So now we have 2 of those around. We have got 2 dogs. We had a cat. And then she was in the park the other day and found this scratched up and very thin cat that was needing some love. So she brought that home. So now we have like 6 shedding animals in this place. Needless to say.
Yeah, okay.
monitoring the air quality and keeping our air clean has always been important to us, especially me. I don't really have allergies, but somehow with like six animals in the house plus us, apparently it's a thing.
So, I would imagine so. It's going to force you to have allergies. You don't really have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. You may not have them, but you will after this. So, hey man, it's so much easier than now that we're in a bigger place because we were in a smaller place before and it was even worse. But we have a lot of animals around here. So we have always kept up with air purifiers. So we've got several of them in the house already. I'm using a Blue Air Blue Pure 211 Plus, I believe, in our living room. We have a Dyson air purifier, which I kind of mentioned before. Mm-hmm. I actually had set up through Homebridge to HomeKit, so I could control that one that way. But that was really your only option. I also have the Xiaomi Mi air purifier. Hmm. Maybe like the Air Purifier 3 or something. I'm not sure. But I have that one in our basement.
Okay.
We have like litter box and stuff down there. So that one I also set up through Homebridge into HomeKit. But again, there was no real HomeKit solution that was out there until the Vocalink PureFlow Smart Air. And I was so excited to get this thing as soon as it was available here in the US. So a few basic things. It is pretty standard looking as far as an air purifier goes, all made of white plastic, fairly large. I mean, it is a big product, but it can clean air up to 645 square feet is what it's like rated to maintain. And it runs at $400, I believe, which is expensive, but this is pretty much in line with what you're looking at for air purifiers, especially at that size.
Yeah.
The blue ones that I picked up for my living room, a Blue Pure 121, that one only does 620 square feet, and that's $440.
Mm-hmm.
As far as cleaning area, it's pretty good because it's actually less than the blue, but it also has the HomeKit smart functionality. For me, that's a win.
Right.
Balking at that price by any means, but it is still expensive, I know, for a lot of people. This does have two filters, so it's got a dual filter setup. There's one on each side. The doors close magnetically. Hmm. It's pretty cool. They kind of pop off, and when you go to put them on, they just like snap right into place. I really like how that goes in, because some of the other ones can be really difficult to kind of finagle in there that I've played with. So nice doors on the side. They are three-stage filters, so they have the pre-filter, a HEPA filter, and then an activated carbon layer. That activated carbon layer is crucial because a lot of times you'll do a HEPA filter, but it doesn't help with odors or smells or anything like that.
Right.
So having that activated carbon is going to help cut down on odors. So at this point, this guy is going to be able to clean up like dust, mold, pollen, allergens, smoke, dander, bacteria, odors, pretty much everything that you need to clean out of your air. Vocalink says this can clean debris down to 0.3 microns, which is quite small.
Okay.
So it is a ridiculous amount of stuff this can clean out of your air. And if you have a home with a lot of animals in it, this thing is going to be working overtime. They say if you are running this like around the clock, I think it's like 6 months is when you should change those filters. But that does make it fairly expensive because you have to replace two filters every 6 months. So it's something to think about. I have cleaned filters in the past because we've got like five air purifiers in this house and I'm not made of money. So I have been I believe HEPA filters like made out of glass. So they're not very easy to like, you can't scrub them or anything like that. But I have like very carefully tried to like vacuum the surfaces to get at least everything out of the pre-filter, which I know there's the HEPA filter on the inside is still going to be clogged up and it's not going to be nearly as effective, but just to get a little more life out of there, because there can be a lot of larger debris before it even gets into that HEPA filter because of how many animals are in this house. So I'm sure we could extend this life a little bit, but playing on the safe side, 6 months, two filters to swap those out.
I was just going to ask, so what exactly HomeKit controls do you have?
Yeah, so there are, as far as HomeKit controls, you only have a couple options. But it also has sensors on it as well. So inside there are three different sensors. There's that sensor, there's the PM25, which is going to be your air quality sensor. And then you have a humidity sensor and a temperature sensor. So it's going to have all three of those showing up in HomeKit. So if you open the HomeKit app, the Home app, or any third-party app, you're going to see your air quality. It's going to rate that from like, you know, poor, fair, excellent, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You're also going to get the rating for your humidity, where your humidity level is at, and your temperature in that room. So I really like that they have all those sensors exposed into HomeKit. Then you have basically the part that kind of controls it would be your fan control. So the fan control, I believe, is 4 total speed settings at 20% intervals. So it's pretty similar to what your ceiling fan would be if you had that controlled on your HomeKit and you had like 4 speed settings. So there's like 0 or off, then 20, 40, 60, 80, and 100%. As far as loudness, Vocalink says it's around 30 to 55 decibels between its lowest setting and its highest setting. Though the lowest setting you can only really reach, I believe, when it is in night mode. It actually has a dedicated night mode, which is important because this thing has lights all over it. If you've seen Vocalink stuff in the past, you know they love neon green.
Right.
And they were like, all the neon green. Where more can we put neon green on this? Let's put a neon light on the front of it. Let's put some more lights on the top of it. Like, there are a lot of neon green lights all over this air purifier. Wow. And at first, I was like, good gosh, what did they do? The good news is all of those lights can be controlled. So there's a big bright bar in the front. For me personally, I turn that one off. I just leave that one off. Then there are lights along the top, and then there's the screen brightness. So the screen is huge. It is very large, which is actually pretty nice. And on the screen, you have a lot of information. You get the air quality level towards the top. You have your humidity level. You get your temperature. You have like a child lock icon. You have the night mode icon. I'm pretty sure it even has like your filter health on there. There'll be like a HomeKit connected icon when it's connected to, I'm not sure if it if it shows that same icon when connected to Google Home or Google Assistant or Amazon Alexa, but in HomeKit, it shows a little house icon with some like Wi-Fi signals on the inside. And then what mode you're on. So if you're on like auto versus a set speed. And then there are also ones at the top if you're on a timer. So you can set this on timer and have it automatically do that. So you can walk in, manual control it, touch sensitive buttons along the top, tap the button you want, good to go. Or of course you can schedule it and do all that fun stuff through HomeKit. It also has an auto mode where it'll just spin up and down based on the air quality in the room at that time.
Right.
For me, some of the buttons on the top, they were a little bit finicky, specifically like the on button was a little bit weird, but we have had like some random power outages and stuff, and I would try to turn it back on, like wasn't responding right away, but we just keep this pretty much on all the time, so it's never really an issue other than when our power randomly gets cut. Otherwise, I mean, we've been really happy with this thing. It is so responsive when we send out controls, whether through Siri or through any of our HomeKit apps. It is quick. It is very fast to respond and adjust down. It connects over Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth, so you can place it in a lot of places without having any issues. When you turn on night mode, it actually goes to that really low whisper level fan speed, and as well as dimming or turning off all the lights. The only thing I kind of wish is I wish I could toggle night mode to turn the lights off and like everything off, but I kind of wish I could keep the fan speed a little higher. To me, we don't mind the noise of the fan. Like, we actually kind of like some white noise in the room. So I actually like having that on, like in the bedroom.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you turn on night mode, it goes to that whisper quiet level and dims the display. So I kind of wish I had that option to quickly with one touch, like turn on night mode, dim everything, but still keep the fan a little higher, like a kind of customized night mode, which I guess you could almost set through HomeKit if you could control the lights from HomeKit. But that is one limitation here, is you cannot control the lights through HomeKit. I think this is a pretty big limitation because we've seen from iDevices, like they have their little wall outlet and there are light switches on the wall, and they have little lights on the front of them, like a little status, not a status light, but a little just accent light or night light. And those are controllable through HomeKit. You can change the color, change the brightness, turn them on and off. And we've talked about different things you can do with those, like scheduling them or using them as sensors for different things. Perhaps the light on the front, I mean, as far as I know, because our air quality has been pretty good with it in there, maybe that adjusts based on the air quality, but for me, it's always neon green. And I kind of just wish you could control either the brightness or even the color, but I would be happy with the brightness slash on and off functionality for that inside of HomeKit. So I could maybe create my own nighttime scene. So when I say, you know, good night to Siri, it'll adjust my fan to the proper level, and it'll dim that display and turn off all the lights on there. That would be ideal in my mind.
So overall, like as an air purifier, you recommend?
I highly recommend this thing. I mean, like I said, the price is not crazy at all. Compared to our blue one that we have in the living room, this thing is actually cheaper and is rated for a higher area of cleaning. And even in larger rooms, they say they can filter them out within 30 minutes. And because it's HomeKit, you can tie it into anything else. So if you have one thing we thought about was maybe we have like a larger room or something, you could put a air quality sensor on the other side and use that to trigger the air purifier to turn on. So even if like right next to the air purifier, it's nice and clean, but on the other side of that same room, it's still not very good air quality, this thing could still keep going and keep cleaning for longer, which I would prefer. Before the air purifier in the past in our smaller apartment, don't judge my wife here, but when I set it up with a air quality sensor in the kitchen, and whenever it would detect poor air quality in the kitchen, i.e. smoke, it would kick the air purifier into like turbo mode. That was my like Dyson. Right. But it was so fast, it could pretty much clear out the kitchen before the smoke detectors would come on.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So I thought that was like a huge factor of being able to, because I hate when smoke detectors go off and start yelling at you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to deal with this, and I don't need you chirping in my ear very loudly.
Yeah.
And especially there, we didn't have, like, any HomeKit ones, like the OneLink Safe and Sound or the OneLink Carbon Monoxide Smoke Detector.
Right.
So they were just very chirpy and very annoying, and I feel like they were even doing it kind of sarcastic. Like, they knew that it was just cooking, but they were still chirping just to be jerks. So
that's hilarious.
Being able to kind of minimize that and clear out the space as fast as possible, I thought was very important.
Okay.
For a lot of reasons, I like this. My biggest criticisms is I wish you could control night mode through the Home app. You can control night mode through third-party HomeKit apps, but not Apple's Home app. Otherwise, you got to go through the VocalLink app.
Right.
I wish you could control the lights through HomeKit, and I wish you could see maybe your air quality data over time, like we see with the Eve devices, where you actually can see a graph, humidity, temperature, air quality, all of that, which would, I think, help you get a better sense of how well this was doing. Like, based on how much it turns on, you can see your air quality being improved.
Gotcha.
But those are my own real criticisms. They're pretty small. This thing I would absolutely say is worth it. You get a ton more functionality than like the other ones that I picked up for my house. I'm just very happy with this thing.
Very cool.
Do you have any air purifiers in your house at all?
I have something called an Air Doctor. I don't know where it was recommended from, but we got a deal on it.
It's a cloud with a stethoscope, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But it was one of the higher rated air purifiers, and I think we're pretty happy with it. But yeah, I'm going to check out this VocalLink one because I'd love to be able to just control it on and off. And we only have one.
I like being able to schedule and control it that way.
Yeah.
It makes it, I feel like, a lot more useful than just a...
Yeah.
Kind of passive one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to check it out. But you can read Andrew's review in the link in show notes or on appleinsider.com. So check that out.
There's a video as well. So
hey.
You can check out kind of what it looks like. You can see a better representation of the size, how the lights and stuff look on it. I love this thing. I really, really do. I think the air quality is so important, especially around here. It makes such a huge difference when I have these things on versus off. And when you go to look at these filters, you can see how much stuff these pick up, and it kind of alarms you. So the price tag is high, but these are one of the few things that I think are extremely worth it. Hence the reason I had like four of them in my home before I picked this thing up.
Well, watch the video, read the review. The link is in show notes and on appleinsider.com. Well, we'd love to hear your feedback. Keep tweeting at us at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in show notes. You can also email us. Use the hashtag HomeKitInsider if you have questions, comments, if you're experimenting with using an iPad as a home hub. We'd love to hear all about that and talk about it on the show. So tweet at us, email us. And if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review an Apple podcast. There's been lots of you who did that, and we're still a 5-star podcast, which is awesome. So thank you to everyone who's done that. And if you haven't yet, go ahead and go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review there. Find all the links to the stuff we talked about in the show notes. Check out Andrew's review and video of the Vocalink PureFlow Air Purifier. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys.